there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Women's Final Four gets going tonight. ESPN has continued to expand our coverage of the Women's Final Four. Digital coverage, social and digital show, countdown to the semifinals, countdown to the finals. Sam Ravitch, LaChyna Robinson, pregame show. It'll be on Facebook, YouTube, ESPN app, 6:30 p.m. Eastern tonight, 2:30 p.m. on Sunday, and they'll have the wrap-up available on Facebook, YouTube, ESPN app immediately following the Iowa-UConn game tonight and immediately after the championship on Sunday. And one of the two hosts that's a part of it is LaChyna Robinson, ESPN basketball analyst, and she joins us on Unsportsmanlike with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, and me, Evan Cohen. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. Let's start with this. Is this the biggest women's Final Four in history?
Yes, it is. I would say yes, for a number of reasons. And don't get me wrong, there's been incredible basketball played over the many Final Fours that we've had in the women's game, and intriguing matchups and different types of, you know, spotlight in various capacities, whether it's Pat Summitt or Geno Days, the number of championships they were accumulating. There's always something to talk about. But when you start the conversation around how much women's basketball has grown, this is a year we will always come back to. And so for that reason, I say that this is the biggest Final Four ever in women's history. But I would also say that this particular Final Four will really put on display how much women's basketball has grown between the lines, meaning the game itself. I just had a conversation with someone yesterday who was part of the host committee for the Final Four 25 years ago. And she said, I don't think anybody scored a bucket for the first 6 minutes of the game. And I said, that won't happen tomorrow night. the game has just grown so much in terms of the speed, the athleticism, the skill. So with those factors in mind, yes, tonight is going to be a special moment for the women's game.
LaChyna, the Blue Blood programs over the last several years feel like they've been South Carolina, Iowa, and UConn. And with this particular Final Four, Isaiah James and NC State feel like they're crashing a party of sorts. I'm curious to get your perspective on the run that they've made and whether or not they've got a shot tonight against Dawn Staley and the Lady Gamecocks.
You know, I have been really impressed with this NC State team. I mean, there's a couple things that this team exemplifies, right? It's the team that has really been good and had some good moments throughout the year, but has gone under the radar. We get so caught up in the headlines of, to your point, the Blue Bloods, the names we hear over and over again. I think, you know, Paige Becker spoke to that yesterday, that sometimes we lose sight that, like, this is an NC State team that beat UConn earlier in the year. So we kind of, at this point, have to reconcile that they may have been overlooked. But there's also a bit of a Cinderella in it as well, right? When you look at the way that they got here, I mean, Isaiah James going 7-for-9 from three-point line, it's got to be a dream for a player to have that kind of performance, especially against a number one seed in Texas. So I think, yes, absolutely, they have a chance. That's why we love March. That's why we love this time of year. That's why it's so special. They're facing the giant in South Carolina, which makes it that much more challenging. But this is an NC State program that Wes Moore has done an outstanding job with. They play downhill. They're extremely aggressive off the bounce. They're going to really take it at you. They've got a fantastic backcourt. River Baldwin on the inside had probably the best game and most important game of her career in the Elite Eight game against Texas on the interior. So, yeah, it's the making of a really great story. And, hey, anyone's got a shot, right? No matter what the numbers say. And I think especially when we've seen South Carolina, I wouldn't even say vulnerable necessarily, but they've had some games where they've lost big leads and games got tight late. So in a sense, they seem like, hey, we've seen some weakness. Now can NC State exploit that?
Let's stay with that for a second with China. What specific vulnerabilities or weaknesses have you seen from South Carolina that NC State could exploit? Because up until this point, no one's been able to break through. But what should be in the game plan for NC State if they are going to take down undefeated South Carolina?
Whew, it's tough. I mean, we're looking at a team that there's really no explanation for why they are this good. When I say that, it's no disrespect at all to the players themselves because Don brings in the best and highest rated recruits. But this is a team that's fairly inexperienced, right? Stepping into some big shoes with the departures of some, you know, the Aaliyah Bostons and, you know, Dawn Staley had her whole lineup drafted to the WNBA. And so no one expected this group to be here. And so in a sense, it's like it's really special what we're watching. But what we've seen in the instances that I just spoke about a moment ago where South Carolina's gotten out to big leads and teams have been able to make the game close is just relaxing a little bit on the intentionality of the offense. And Dawn spoke to this in one of her press conferences. She said, we're able to let teams get back in because we're not taking the best shots. And there's a lot of ways that you could take a best shot, right? There's a good shot, there's a great shot. But to me, for this team, it's really playing through Camilla Cardozo. And she's 6'7", and to me, there's just no one that can really stop her or limit her impact on the inside. So, in terms of where they are vulnerable, it's really South Carolina making mistakes where you can take advantage. When they maybe have a few possessions, they're not prioritizing Camilla on the inside, or can you force them to turn the ball over? Can you get them into foul trouble, which honestly is not that significant because they have such a strong bench. But it's going to have to be South Carolina beating themselves a little bit and NC State taking advantage of it. But it definitely, they show their youth in some stretches when they're not playing priority offense.
We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, talking with LaChyna Robinson, ESPN basketball analyst. She will be a part of the pregame show available on Facebook, YouTube, ESPN app tonight, 6:30 p.m. Eastern for the Women's Final Four. So we all know how unbelievable Caitlin Clark is. She has completely changed the game. She has brought people in that may never have been here before, and hopefully they will stay forever, both women's college basketball and WNBA. We know that she wants a championship. LaChyna, does she need a championship?
I think she does. I think if she gets a championship, then there's no excuses, right, to put her on your Mount Rushmore. What Caitlin is doing right now on various levels is just extraordinary. It's obviously unprecedented. It's unreal. And what I mean by that is, yes, she's bringing the viewers to the game, but she is also just playing the game in a way that we've never seen in our sport. She's must-see TV because there's just really no way to stop her. She's an unstoppable force, and not only, yeah, she's going to shoot the logo threes, and she's got Steph Curry-esque range, but she is literally the epicenter of her team. Like, this team is in the Final Four. Make no mistake, you replace Caitlin Clark in this starting five. I don't know if Iowa gets out of the first round of the NCAA tournament, and yet here we are. And so she's a generational player who has transformed the way people see our sport and what's capable of women playing this game. I was talking to my stepmom the other day, and I was asking her, you know, she watched Caitlin for the first time, and she watches a lot of women's basketball, enough, because of what I do. But she said, I think she's the best I've ever seen. And she named like one other WNBA player that she thinks she was good at. But then she started rattling off all these storylines around Caitlin about the big three. And she just really started taking a deep dive into her life. And so you have the casual the basketball fan. You have some people that may not even been interested in basketball saying, who is this girl? And I want to know everything I can about her. And I want to watch her play as much as possible. And She's just been magnetic for our sport. She's grown it in so many ways. She's just phenomenal.
There is the backstory with Caitlin Clark and UConn, that connection that she has with that program. And then, of course, Paige Beckers being both from the Midwest and playing against each other in the AAU circuit. I think it makes for a lot of theater, a lot of drama. But Gino Auriemma came out and called Paige Beckers the best player in college basketball, not Caitlin Clark. Curious to know who will be the best player on the court tonight when these two teams match up in your eyes.
I believe they'll both be great, but just in different ways. And, you know, everyone's got their own criteria for what they feel like the best player in the sport is, right? And Gino is correct in some ways because Paige brings aspects of the game that Caitlin doesn't, and vice versa. Caitlin brings aspects to the game that Paige doesn't. You know, I think we have to give Paige credit for her, the well-roundedness of her game on both ends of the floor, right? I think they'll both shine. And quite honestly, what I love about this matchup when you mention those two players is Paige's story. That's actually what stands out to me. You all know that in sport, injury can sometimes mean the end of a career. It could mean a bust, if you will. It can mean a lot of things. And Paige has really risen above all expectation and how she has responded to the injuries that she's had in her career. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I don't even know how she's had the mental fortitude, nonetheless, the physical fortitude to push through all that she's been through. And so for her to be here and for this conversation to be Caitlin, who could be, you know, the greatest offensive player we've ever seen in the history of women's college basketball, and she's there with her in this spotlight with all that she's had to push through and the resilience she's had to show. That's the storyline that I hope people really catch a hold of tonight, is everything that that young woman has had to endure to get to this place, because it's truly inspiring.
You called Caitlin Clark an unstoppable force, excuse me, LaChyna. How does Gino Auriemma try to slow her down if he can't stop her?
No, he definitely can't stop her. He can't stop her. And I don't even know if he can slow her down. Wow. You know, it's more about Connecticut being able to produce offensively to keep up with Iowa. I said yesterday that this game is going to come down to transition for both of these teams for different reasons. Iowa is a team that loves the transition game from the pass full court because they run the floor so well, to Caitlin pulling up in transition. Like, that is really where their offense is dynamic, because they make amazing decisions immediately. Like, if you miss a shot, or if you think they're taking the ball out of bounds, you have no time to decide where you're going to be defensively in transition, because they're so quick and so good at executing. Transition is important to Connecticut because that's where they're most effective offensively. Their half-court offense is good. It's not great. And so they literally have to play on some speed, on the go, on the run, in the open court in order to be effective offensively. And that is where UConn can take control of this game, is they're going to have to execute. They're going to have to score points consistently on the board. And it can't just be Paige Beckers. It's got to be Aaliyah Edwards. Like, it's got to be by committee. But we all know, to play in transition for many teams, it's about your defense. Yes, there are teams that can get the ball in bounds very quickly and get up the floor, but can you get stops? And that really boils down to making players other than Caitlin Clark take shots. That's literally what it's going to come down to Connecticut, so they can play in transition, so they can score consistently.
Watch LaChyna Robinson with Sam Ravitch tonight, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Facebook, YouTube, ESPN app, the countdown to the semifinals, countdown to the final. Women's basketball coverage of the Final Four all weekend from Cleveland. LaChyna, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have fun.
All right, there is LaChyna Robinson joining us here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up, is he still our frenemy? Is he just our friend? Is he just our enemy? What is he? We will find out next. Joe Fortenbaugh joins us next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You hear them each and every day from noon until 3 Eastern time here on ESPN Radio. You see him on ESPN Bet. He has been described as our friend, our enemy, our frenemy, Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe. What are you these days? Are we all friends? Are we enemies? Are we frenemies? What's the assessment, Joe?
I think that's a fantastic question because it feels like a storm is brewing at ESPN Radio.
Oh. Oh, really?
What I mean by this is we kind of talked about it off the air before our show yesterday, where we are all planting our flags on the New York Jets this season. And it's I can hear the big man. I know where the big man stands. I know where my big man stands. I am of the opposite opinion. I have bought into the Jets. We can get into that later, but it feels like I'm going to need to know where Smalls is. Cohen, I'm going to need to find out where you are. We know where Greenberg is. We'll find out from the guys in the afternoon, and then we'll work it on down the chain. But it feels like that might be the most divisive topic of the upcoming football season.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Joe, because one of the things that you realize with our team here at ESPN Radio is that, like, we all go on each other's shows now, and, like, we have, like, unification. Except when it comes to the Jets,
yeah.
Somehow. The Jets are what's going to tear the new ESPN Radio lineup apart. I am not as far in as CeCe is, but I'm not a believer in the Jets. Smalls, you?
I think I'm more of a believer than my two co-hosts here, Joe. I look at the talent, and I think about a healthy Aaron Rodgers coming back. I think about an Aaron Rodgers with a chip on his shoulder coming back. But then I remind myself that I'm talking about the Jets.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to 100% buy in. I do think, though, that the division is interesting because with Steph Diggs leaving Buffalo, I don't know how much I believe in them. So I could see a world in which the Jets are competing for the division. But then I also tell myself, do you really want to put your money on the Jets?
Yeah, and this is where Carlin stands. He makes a great point. He's like, look, you can throw analytics at me. You can throw pricing at me. You can lay out any case you want to lay out. I'm just going to say it's the Jets. And it's tough because I can have a great argument, and he says that, and I think, yeah, he's kind of got a point there. It's the Jets.
It's a sucker's bet, Joe. I don't know how you don't see through it. They're getting you now. They're getting you again. They got all of us last year this time of year. Oh, they've got Aaron Rodgers. This is the Jets' year. They're going to win the division, get to the playoffs, and go on a deep. No, they ain't, dog.
That's the thing. I try to take a contrarian approach. I believe when you see the public lining up on one side, when you see the masses lining up one way, I try to find the angle the other way. Like, all you're hearing about is how wonderful the Houston Texans are going to be next year. I'm going to try to find the holes in that. And I think there's an opportunity with the Jaguars at plus 260 to win that division. But that's just a betting angle. In this perspective, I was not on the Jets last year. I did not buy in. And that's not to tout anything. I mean, it's the Jets. They ended up falling apart. Rodgers got hurt. But now you have so many people that aren't into them, and that's baked into their price. The defense has gotten a little bit better. They've upgraded the offensive line. There are, CeCe, you're right. There are so many concerns. But given Buffalo taking a hit, given the fact that Miami was 1-6 against playoff teams last year, like, they don't beat any good teams, and the fact that we can probably discount the Patriots, I don't know. I see a path to victory is what I'm saying.
The contrarian approach is all well and good, Joe, unless it's betting on a 40-year-old quarterback coming off of an Achilles injury.
Very fair.
I'm just saying. But let's look at the AFC East and the Buffalo Bills because, you know, their odds did dip a little bit when it comes to winning the division, even though they've done it 4 years running. I'm curious to get your take on Josh Allen because as of this morning, he still has the second shortest odds of winning MVP, only to Patrick Mahomes. Your thoughts on the value of Josh Allen being an MVP candidate?
I certainly wouldn't play that at all because when you look at the other MVP candidates, for starters, you have guys that are either Patrick Mahomes, who win the award all the time, or guys that just have incredible weaponry around them. Like, you got to remember with this award, there's certain criteria that need to be met. And one of them is that you pretty much have to be a one or a two seed. If you're not a one or a two seed, good luck trying to convince the voters that you're the most valuable player. I don't currently see Buffalo as a one or a two seed. 8-1 stands there, and people are thinking, wow, he's still 8-1. I mean, think about that. What I think that is Vegas doesn't want to move the price because if they move it to where it should be, maybe 16-1 or 18-1, they know they'll take some action at that price because some people think the Bills might have a trick up their sleeve. Maybe they find a way to acquire Brandon Ayuk from the 49ers. Maybe it's T. Higgins from the Bengals. I understand that those are long shots, but bookmakers don't want to move the price to say 18-1, then watch the Bills immediately trade for someone to replace Diggs and then realize, oh my God, we've got all this liability at 18-1. Now we're going to move them back to 8-1 and we're in a bad spot. So I think that's what's happening in that particular situation. I would not play him at 8-1.
What about the other side of this trade, Joe, with the Houston Texans? Does adding Stephon Diggs to the offense change the way that you would bet on the Texans moving forward?
So they're going to be good. Everyone who's high on them, I get it. I'm not here to be anti-Texan. I just want to point a few things out. You know, the win total is going to be sitting somewhere around 9.5. Will they win 10 or more games this year? People will look to last season. They're going to be very high on this team. They snuck up on some people, and they played a last-place schedule. What no one does in this analysis is take a look at who they're going to play this year. They have Kansas City. They have Baltimore. They have Detroit. They have the Packers. They have the Cowboys. They have the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets. They have two with the Jaguars, two with the Colts, who almost made the playoffs. They have the Bears, who are going to be better this year. Like, it right now, it's a top five schedule in terms of difficulty. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what they're going to face, okay? They were 7-3 in one-score games last year. That points to a possibility of regression. They were top five in turnover differential last year. That points to the possibility of a little bit of regression. And then there's Diggs himself. You know, he's going to be 31 in November. There was a team that just took a $31 million dead cap charge to get rid of the guy. And then on top of it, his numbers were in decline last season. Now, he could have a huge year. It's not going to surprise me if he plays really well. But if he struggles a bit and he doesn't live up to the expectation, that's not going to surprise me either. Minnesota had no problem saying goodbye. Buffalo had no problem saying goodbye. There's clearly something there.
Joe, really quick before we let you get out of here, right now the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers are tied for the heaviest odds to win their division. Sitting here today, what team are you most confident in that will win their division?
Well, from a betting perspective, the Rams at 4-1 intrigues me out west. I think the Niners are going to have a down year this season. So I would look to the pricing on the Rams. A lot of people really like what's going on with Atlanta right now. I think a good bet is Jacksonville plus 260 to win the AFC South. They started 8-3 last year. They went into the tank. Everyone's off the train. You're not going to get rich buying high, selling low. You buy low and you sell high. I would buy low on Jacksonville. That's a price I like. And Smalls, before you can ask it, your wink, wink play, Miami minus 2.5 over Houston.
Thank you.
I think the Rockets were in that spot against the Warriors. Both teams played last night and lost, but the Rockets are now, what, 4 back of the Warriors? That was their shot, and I think now they are going to be completely deflated by the fact that the Warriors smoked them and that their season's over. I think you get a flat effort tonight. The Heat come to play. I'd lay the 2.5 with Miami.
Yeah, the Joe coach Fortenbaugh called him soft and scared. So
exactly. Yeah. He's trying to motivate them. The problem is I don't think they respond. I think they look at the standings and they realize that was our shot. We blew it. Better luck next season.
Joe Fortenbaugh, tremendous job. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN bet analyst. Really, I'm blown away. The Bills' point was such a good one about they're actually keeping them at that number out of anticipation for another move, which is a very good point by Fortenbaugh there. Hear him today, noon until 3 Eastern time. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Men's Final Four this weekend. UConn, Alabama, Purdue, NC State. We are on Sportsmanlike presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. And joining us now, he's a former NBA All-Star. He is a businessman, to say the least. He is Kentucky legend Jamal Mashburn, and he has teamed up with Exact Sciences and the Blue Hat Foundation to challenge people 45 and older to box out colon cancer by getting screened for the disease, and he joins us now. Jamal, let's start there. Tell everybody what you're doing here with Exact Sciences and the Blue Hat Foundation.
Well, I'm teaming up with them, Exact Sciences and the Blue Hat Foundation, to challenge everyone 45 and older to get screened for colon cancer. It's a story that's near and dear to my heart. My mother dealt with it in 2000 at the height of my NBA career when I was an all-star. So we had to deal with a lot of healthcare obstacles. And if she would have got screened early, it probably would have prevented certain things. But she passed away, I want to say, probably about pre-COVID. And she was in remission for 18 years. So she lived a long life. But, you know, I'm here to spread the word for everybody to get screened, at least 45 and older get screened for colon cancer. It personally touched my heart and my family, so here to deliver the message.
Jamal, before we get to the current Final Four, I wanted to ask you about Kentucky basketball, early exits in the NCAA tournament the last 3 years. It's been a long time, I mean, going back to the 2014-2015 season since Coach Cal has been in the Final Four. Your thoughts on the state of Kentucky basketball and them retaining Coach Calipari?
Well, I'm obviously a big part of University of Kentucky basketball history. I enjoy playing there, still have friends there and quite a few business opportunities there as well. So I'm a big supporter of the UK basketball and also of Calipari. You know, it's a tough job. You know, it's a professional job. It's accountability. They want you to win, and not only just win and put up 20 plus wins throughout every season, but they want you to compete for championships and Final Fours, at least be in contention. So, you know, I think Calipari has his work cut out for him. I think they probably have to go get some older players in the transfer portal to kind of stabilize their lineup. Which they've done in the past with some young kids, older kids nowadays. So, you know, I like the direction. I know people want change, but, you know, sometimes the dealing with somebody that you know rather than something new coming in could be a little bit difficult. But I think Calipari is the right man for the job. He understands how to deal with the fan base. He understands the expectation level. And, you know, he's been there for some time. People just want to win more, win national championships. But I think he's the right guy at the helm.
Jamal, a team that won the national championship last year in UConn is right there, dominant in this tournament yet again. We spoke to Alabama head coach Nate Oates earlier in the week and asked him about going up against UConn, and he said part of the game plan was praying. How do you think that Alabama or anyone else, if they advance, can take down UConn, or can they?
You know, you look at UConn, and, you know, I've watched them play a couple of times also in the Big East tournament. Got a chance to witness them a little bit last year, the national championship game. You know, it doesn't seem like they have any holes. They have size. They have good guard play. And guard play at the NCAA level, especially in the Final Four, is paramount. They have two exceptional guards in the backcourt. They're older. They got big. So they're going to be awfully difficult to beat. I think ultimately what it comes down to is UConn is they can't beat themselves, you know, at the end of the day. So I look for UConn to cut down a consecutive national championship banner. and move forward. So it's going to be difficult to be, because they have everything covered. They don't have a lot of weaknesses.
We're talking with former NBA All-Star Jamal Mashburn, Kentucky, of course, as well. BoxOutColonCancer.com for more information, raising awareness for people 45 years of age and older to get screened for colon cancer. You are now a dad for a long period of time, but you're a sports dad now with your son playing college basketball. What goes into the transfer portal, as I believe he has transferred previously? Like, what is that process as a dad and as a former player with your son now, Jamal Jr., transferring from one school to another?
Yeah, I mean, the first time he transferred was he was at the University of Minnesota, and he played for Richard Pitino. And Richard Pitino got fired after his freshman year. Then he got the job 24 hours later at the University of New Mexico. And that was a pretty easy one. He wanted to continue to play for Richard and follow him to New Mexico. Then he spent 3 years there, did very well there. And now he's going to be a fifth-year senior, a graduate transfer. And it's a recruiting process all over again. But the one thing I realized that when my son went through it the first time, he was 18 years old. Now he's 21 years old. So the maturity level is different. And he knows exactly what he wants as far as a program and also as a coach. He's been around college basketball for 4 years. So he's going to make the right decision. I think I'm less stressed now than I was when he was an 18-year-old. Because I was the one kind of guiding the process, and now he's guiding the process himself. So it's less stressful. I've watched him grow. I've watched him mature. And, you know, I'm proud to see him make decisions that it will impact his future as a basketball player, but also as a human being as well.
Jamal, I want to switch gears real quick. Last night, we saw something in the NBA that I had never before seen in professional sports. After the Rockets lost to the Golden State Warriors, Rockets head coach Ime Udoka came out and said about his team, and I quote, "Either we were scared or we were soft. That's two things that's not good for my club." Now, I've heard coaches address their team in the confines of a locker room when the media is not there and say that to them. But I've never before seen a head coach do that. So have you ever seen or heard about that in your career as a professional athlete? And which would you want to be called if you had to be called one or the other?
Well, I'd rather be called none of those. I mean, Chris, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think things at the time that I played and you played a football, I think things have changed. From a culture standpoint, utilization of social media, there's really not a lot of privacy unless you take it upon yourself to make that a priority for yourself. So I think also, too, coaches have become quite smart, especially the younger coaches, and how they communicate with their players. A lot of guys are on their phones looking at content. It's hard to get a conversation face to face with folks unless they're looking at their phone to get their attention. So I think he was probably trying to deliver a message where he knew that they were going to grab the content at some way or some shape or form of fashion, either through Instagram, Snap, whatever social media platform they use to deliver the message. And, you know, times are different. You know, I think back in my day, that would have been, it was unacceptable, you know, especially for a pro. And I think what he's also run into, Ime Udoka, is that he's dealing with a young team as well. You know, Fred VanVleet is obviously a veteran, but still a young veteran in that case. But and they're trying to develop a culture down there. So he's trying to set the tone and the precedent of accountability. And in this day and age, you got to deliver it in a different way. And back in our day, it would have been in the confines of the locker room, which I personally think that's the best place for it. But also you got to take into consideration how guys consume the message and where they consume it from.
Jamal, I want to talk to you about your life. I think your story is amazing. I think people obviously know who you are as a 10-year-plus NBA player and all-star, great player at Kentucky, averaged 19 a game for your career. You were really successful on the court. Would you say you've been more successful off the court than you were on the court, though?
You know, two different lives, you know, one actually led to another. And I think the success and how you compare success in one space is a little bit different. In my NBA career, that would be defined as all-star games or championship caliber teams. For me in the business world, it's all about, the right partnerships, the right industry, and the right operators. So the success is defined differently. And in the business world, often success is defined by, you know, how well you teach your employees and if you can sell the business to somebody at a great profit down the road. So I've been very successful in the sense that, you know, I put myself in a great position to continue to learn and continue to develop as a business person. But I've also used athletics in order to get there. Athletics was a key component in my life, and I still use it to this day. I mean, I know how to deal with success. I know how to deal with failure. I know how to put teams together. I know how to lead. So that's led me to a particular place that I'm in today where I can be involved in the car business, in Lexus and Toyota, Papa John's, and in the waste business as well. So I've been very successful, but I've learned a lot through sports as well to help me transition and be a pretty good business person.
That is one humble man. I'm just saying. I mean, what, you have like 90 different businesses that you own over the course of time. Jamal Mashburn, awesome job as always. 45 years of age and older. BoxOutColonCancer.com. Get screened for the disease. It's been near and dear, of course, to Jamal's heart. And thank you so much for the time. And best of luck with your son transferring and obviously watching the tourney in the NBA the rest of the season.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time. BoxOutColonCancer.com, my friend.
All right, there he is, Jamal Mashburn. Yeah, I mean, per reports, and as he mentioned, like, I mean, so many businesses that he has been a part of and obviously very successful there. Coming up, Canty's best bet, plus unsportsmanlike moments of the day. Next, it's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. But first, I want to tell everybody about True Green. Of course, they have been the trusted name when elevating your lawn game without breaking the bank. True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. I'm one of them. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. I'm chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
The damn Denver Nuggets gave us the screw job last night. Michael Malone, why'd you have to get kicked out the game? All you had to do was win. We moneylined it. All you had to do was win. Jokic covered his end of the bargain. I just needed over 41.5 combined points and rebounds, and my guy went off for 36 points, 17 boards, and 10 assists. We were good. We were straight. Michael Malone got kicked out of the game. James Harden pointing him to the locker room, and then they didn't win the game against the Clippers with no Kawhi Leonard.
Thanks for nothing, Malone.
Yeah, it costed us money, man. We was trying to get paid. But don't worry. I got you. We're going to get you right. We're going to get your money right for the weekend. And it starts tonight, 7 o'clock tip, Women's NCAA Tournament Final Four. We're going to take South Carolina, laying the 11.5 against NC State, and we're going to go over on the 139.5 combined points from each team. Okay. So South Carolina laying 11.5 against NC State, and we're going to take the over on combined total points from each team. And that pays out at plus 250. Let's go!
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, guys. We got a few. CeCe, you want to do a quick slip in here to connect your bet last night to unsportsmanlike moments? We didn't have this, but I know you loved what James Harden did to Michael Malone. Very unsportsmanlike when he got kicked out.
Yeah, I mean, James Harden was great. Like, he's sitting there in the middle of it while Michael Malone is going at it with the ref, and James Harden is directing traffic, meaning Michael Malone, to the locker room. I love that he pointed at him. James Harden has been on one lately, a couple weeks ago. Like, he's closing out on Kawhi Leonard trying to shoot a three against the Portland Trailblazers. Like, he is just having a time. His on-court antics, highly entertaining. I mean, been more entertaining than Clippers basketball down the stretch. But, I mean, James Harden is... I mean, he's having fun with this thing. You can tell that he's excited about where he's at right now.
Yeah. All right. So, unsportsmanlike moments. Let's start with Larry David. Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think it's the final ever episode this weekend on HBO. Well, he was at the Knick game, and they caught him on camera. And he tried to do, like, the heart thing with the hands. And, well, he failed miserably. He's with Susie Essman from who's Susie Green in the show. He could not do the heart thing on camera. He tried to do it. It's not that easy. Like, what is the proper way of doing the heart thing? Like with
it's
your
not
hands?
Not hard at all, actually, Ev.
You just put your fingers down. Like, okay.
Yeah, it's not hard at all.
Yeah, we're
actually both doing it. Yeah. It's not hard.
I don't think CeCe's looks like a heart at all.
Evan?
Well, it's because my hands are so big and my fingers are broken, Evan.
This is not.
Oh,
this
look.
Is it?
You're generating hearts on the television side.
Mine looks terrible.
How does it not look like a heart, Ev?
It does.
Oh, no, now it does. Now it does.
How does it not look like a heart?
I don't think you are bending your fingers enough.
Well, my fingers are broke. My fingers and thumbs are broken. I've broken every single finger and thumb.
Every single one?
Every single one. Look at it. Look at my thumb. That's not normal for a thumb to look like that.
No, it's
definitely
not.
Let's all do it.
Normal.
Here we go. On ESPNU, you can see this. We're all going to do the hearts at the same time.
Okay.
So they can get ready. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
There we go.
Evan, only yours is generating other hearts, though.
Well, what can I say? You know what? That tells you something. What? I don't know. All right. Next one. So we got Larry David with the hearts. Next one. Well, Zach Edey, we're getting ready for the Final Four this weekend. He is the Purdue center. He's a big man. He had this to say about Halloween back in the day when he was a kid.
About your size and the conversation about, oh, he's so big.
Yeah, I think it was probably before I started playing basketball. Like when I was growing up, like I was 6'10 in eighth grade. So it was probably around there, like when I really started getting the stares, people really started looking at me. I remember I wasn't allowed to. I got banned from trick or treating when I was like in fourth grade because people would get mad at me because I was too big.
But yeah, it's just banned.
Well, not banned, but just like I would get like the little stink eyes because I was like 6 foot going door to door for.
Could you do it?
Yeah,
so people would, somebody's dad, basically.
Yeah, people would be like, "What are you doing? Like, you're too old for this."
Sexy messed up. I feel bad for Zach.
Me too.
Yeah, it's like let that man have a childhood.
Yeah, I feel really bad for him, too. Imagine going up to the door. You're so excited as a kid to trick-or-treat. And the person who opens the door is like, scram, get out of here. You're too old. He's like, I'm 8.
Yeah, that's messed up. Like, people are so mean. I'm sorry, Zach. Tell us who hurt you.
I see it with my son. My son is 5'6" at 10 years old. He's really tall. And people, like, have full-fledged conversations with him thinking he's way older and he's only 10. I mean, he can have conversations. But it's awkward at times for him. It never happened to you, CeCe? I don't know when you got really tall, but like, did it ever happen to you in that regard? Or no,
I didn't get really tall until like my junior year in high school. Like, I was shorter than my mom until my junior year in high school.
And how much did you grow in that year?
I went from being 5'11" to being 6'5".
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It happened quick. Life comes at you fast.
Yeah. How tall is your dad?
6'6", and my mom is 6 feet.
Wow.
So I was
destined to be tall.
I was the low man. I was the low man. Wasn't great.
And your siblings are tall too?
Well, what do you think, Evan? My dad is 6'6", and my mom is 6 feet tall.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
I mean, they're not short.
Okay.
Just saying.
I don't know.
One
is that automatic?
1'6'4" and 1'6'6".
Yeah, is it automatic?
I'm pretty sure my brothers were going to be over 6 feet tall. My mom is 6 feet tall. My dad is 6'6". I'm just saying. Probably going to be tall.
All right, final unsportsmanlike moment. So, Dawn Staley, head coach at South Carolina, undefeated, getting ready for the Final Four tonight. Well, there was another thing that she was getting ready for, and that was a debate about what word to use within the English language with her team.
I have a brief question, because you guys are writers, right? I just posted a tweet, and we had a long discussion in our coaches' meeting. So our players were in the locker room, lying or laying down. Lying? You sure? So I told our coaches, someone taught me you lie to get laid, right?
Oh. Well, yeah, you see what happened. Is it lying down or laying down?
Jeez.
I think it's lying down.
I don't want my players lying in the locker room.
They're laying down in the locker room.
Yeah, I don't want them lying in the locker room.
So we're just going to say thing. Laying?
Yeah, we're going to say
up
laying.
Next. I don't know if we're it's on to Monday.
Not lying.
Like ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.